You know, once every 4 years, we catch lightning in a bottle where there's something that grabs our attention. And hey, a lot of us, whether you're a soccer fan, whether you're not a soccer fan, I think you can say we've all been captivated in some way, shape, or form by the World Cup that came to an end yesterday for the United States, 2-1 loss to Belgium. Let's bring in Alex Heinert, Midcoast Sports Network. And 24 hours later, Alex, how should we as Americans view what happened in the World Cup?
You know, I think having a day to reflect, you know, after the heartbreak of yesterday, I think, you know, you should be proud. I mean, the fact that you've made it out of one of the toughest groups, certainly the toughest group on paper of this World Cup, one of the toughest groups we've seen in recent years in the World Cup as well, to make it out of that, to make it to a round of 16 game, certainly the way that the team and the games that they played kind of, like you talked about, captured the country a little bit. If you watch some of the scenes, I mean, people, 20,000 people in Soldier Field, you know, rushing in to the stadium yesterday to get a good seat for the big screen. And like Kansas City, everybody piled up outside of Sporting KC Stadium. You know, in New York, like all across the country, people got fired up. And this team fought. I mean, you could tell we were not the better team in that game yesterday. Belgium, by far, the better side, more talented, more depth. But the heart that they had to come back after going down a goal and then going down two in the extra time, you got to be proud of the way they played. And we've got some outstanding individual players. And we're still a little bit away. We're still 4 years, maybe 8 years, maybe 12 years away from really being a true contender in a World Cup. But anytime your nation makes it to that second round, the round of 16, and again, it's not a guarantee. Italy didn't make it. England didn't make it. Spain, the defending champs, didn't make it. So just to get to that spot, you got to feel pretty good.
Are we better off as a nation with soccer than we were maybe 8 to 12 to 16 to 20 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Without question, yeah. I mean, if you think about 1990 was the first time the U.S. had made the World Cup in 40 years. There was a 40-year drought from 1950 to 1990 where we didn't even qualify for this tournament. And in 1990, we were kind of laughed off the stage. And they didn't win a game. It was kind of a disaster. But even in the last seven World Cups that we've qualified for, we've gone every other. Like, well, 90, we didn't make it to the round of 16. 94, we did, and had a really good showing at home. 98, we were miserable. We lost all three games. We didn't score a goal. It was terrible. 2002, we make it to the quarterfinals. Then we took a step back in 06. Then we took a step forward in 2010. And now this is the first time we've been able to piggyback off that success and expand that a little bit and go back-to-back. So I think if you look at certainly the level of interest in the country in the sport, that's gone up a ton, and the level of talent has also increased as well. No, I think we're in a much better place. Certainly 12, 15 years ago, we were in a much better place than we are today. Absolutely.
The question that I've had, and I've been asking it, and you can, I guess you can kind of look at it as rhetorical, but it's also something as well. Now that it's over with for the United States, and I know the event itself is still going on, how can they keep the casual fan interested in the game when ultimately the one reason for a lot of the people to get together at bars or restaurants or wherever, I mean, that's gone. I mean, how do they keep the casual fan engaged?
Well, I think first off, it's exposure. I mean, just the fact that the game is so much more prevalent now, and the game at the highest level too, the fact you can turn on the TV on Saturday morning and watch a Premier League match on NBC, that's a huge deal. We didn't have that two or three years ago. So that continuing to be in the spotlight is going to make a big deal. It's different, obviously, when it's not your country. I mean, there's been a lot of debate whether or not these are soccer fans versus just American fans. And I think a lot of it is, you know, you have the national pride, and that's what captivates people a little bit. That's what gets so fired up for the Olympics.
Yeah, and I think that's something, too, that I think for a lot of people are fans of America, but not necessarily fans of soccer, the game itself.
Yeah, I think, you know, to those people, that's fine. You don't have to. This doesn't have to continue. Like, I don't expect there to be that kind of a watch party, you know, in Kansas City, in Chicago, in New York, for, you know, a normal Saturday in the Premier League, or even for like a UEFA Champions League final. We're not going to get to that point, not for a long, long time, until there's an American that is playing in those games. I think that's the thing. If you look at some of the individual talent that we've got, you know, Jeff Cameron, you know, who was the starting center back for us this World Cup, played in the midfield the last game. He plays for Stoke City in England. You know, I think people will kind of gravitate towards that club a little bit more. Same thing with Josie Altidore. You know, he plays, again, in the Premier League for Sunderland. People are going to tune in now maybe to those games just because they recognize the name and the face. And same with MLS, too. People are going to watch the Sounders because Clint Dempsey and DeAndre Edlin plays for them. And I'm not saying they'll become diehard fans, but the odds of them maybe tuning in because they recognize the name and the face, I think, goes up even just a little bit because of the experience we had this summer.
Alex, I know we're kind of considered a minor league mecca in Sioux Falls with the Skyforce and, you know, and the Stampede and Canaries. And,
yeah.
And of course, we had the Spitfire there for a while. I'd like to ask you a two-part question. Do you think we should have that type of a semi-pro or pro team in Sioux Falls, first of all? And secondly, what type of team do you think we could actually get here for what type of league?
Oh, that's a great question. First off, I would love to see that. I mean, the Spitfire games were a lot of fun to go to. There were some fun matches over at Old McEnany Field about 7-8 years ago or so when that was catching on in the city, and it was too bad they left. I mean, right now there is essentially a minor league MLS out there, so a step below, kind of like AAA in baseball. They have that for soccer in America. It's essentially a feeder club for the main level, and it wouldn't be out of the question for Sioux Falls to get a spot like that. I mean, they're kind of dotted all over the country. I know in the cities in Blaine, Minnesota, they've got kind of one of those second tier teams that plays. It wouldn't be out of the question for us to get something like that in the future. I think for this area, though, the biggest boost I think for soccer would be if Minnesota gets an MLS team, and that's maybe coming down the pike. There's one more expansion franchise up for grabs, and Minneapolis is making a strong push for that.
He's Alex Heiner, Midco Sports Network, here on Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. You mentioned the MLS going to Minnesota, and I know there's talk of potentially a rugby team up there. Is that a sport that, because it's kind of one of those sports that kind of goes under the radar? Is that one that ultimately that and lacrosse maybe sports that soccer might be kind of jockeying for some of that fandom?
Depends on what part of the world you're in. I think around here, I think soccer, just because we don't have youth rugby and we don't have youth lacrosse, you know, and even in Sioux Falls, but we do have youth soccer and we have high school soccer. And I know that we've got the Crows, you know, playing Sioux Falls as like a club rugby team, and there's some things like that. But I think soccer is much more on a higher level than those. Nothing against those sports, and those are big and fun to watch. But I think soccer is much more established and is really has a foothold, especially in the Midwest and in the country, where those two are a little more on the periphery. I just think there's so much more with soccer that people have already started to love, and they already know about it, and it is already being played across the country and is easy to play. Where, like, with some of those sports, lacrosse, the sticks are expensive, and that gear is a little expensive, and soccer, all you need is a ball and a couple of shoes. And good to go.
I know soccer's huge in the metro area here, and there's a lot of soccer mom vans driving around, but do you have any idea exactly how many kids are playing soccer in the metro area at all?
You know, I couldn't give you the exact number. I know it's a lot. I mean, if you go to a Dakota Alliance tournament, you know, where that they'll put on over at a number of the fields. We've got Yankton Trails Park, for example, where there are 20 fields out there. It's packed, and it's the team from around the region. But it's big in the city, and now, especially that the Sioux Falls School District has now sanctioned that sport to be played with the South Dakota High School Activities Association, we're going to see the number continue to increase. But I know that there's a lot of talk that, yeah, kids play it when they're, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 maybe years old, but then they give it up, you know, when they get to middle school or high school to play football and play baseball and play basketball. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think you're seeing a few more kids every generational cycle decide to, hey, I really love this game. I can play this game at a high level. And now there are more opportunities, you know, to go and get a scholarship to go play college soccer, to go and maybe have a chance to get into a developmental team and make it big. And I think that's going to be the trick. It's getting those kids for soccer people that want to see the sport grow and see the U.S. get better. It's trying to captivate those kids that are trying to make that decision, kids who are good athletes that could play kind of whatever sport they want to. It's, you know, are they going to be interested enough to stick with this? Do they have enough passion and love for this to keep going when they get older?
Well, Alex, I appreciate the time. I know that we got you to – it was a good time yesterday, but it was also a bad time because I was texting Jay Elson back and forth, and you know, it was like we should have kept you on the line. If we would have kept you on the line, we would have been talking about a match this weekend.
We would have won the game. Yeah, that was –
I mean, that's how – you know, that's how it would have happened.
I apologize for all the screaming. It was literally just right when you called, and we were just getting ready to get on the air. Yeah, Julian Green scores that goal in the 106th minute, and it was, you know, it's one of those things. That's the passion I'm talking about. There's just something special about seeing that goal in a moment like that. Oh, yeah. I just couldn't contain it. So I apologize for all the screaming yesterday.
I thought it was great. Hey, Alex, I appreciate it, man. It's always great to talk to you. Have a good week, man, and happy 4th. And you know, we'll talk to you real soon.
Hey, sounds good. Always a pleasure, Chris. America.
America.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
See, Alex Heinert from Midcoast Sports Network.